Good morning, everyone. All right, today's text is Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Well, good morning. I want you to know it's a genuine privilege for me to have the opportunity to be here, to be in this place where Pastor Jared normally stands and preaches, and what an opportunity to be here in his absence. I am the other Sean, Sean Sr., and his mom and I joined the church just a few weeks ago, and what a privilege it is to be able to be members here where our son goes and where he is so loved and appreciated. And so, anyway, thank you. So this morning, we're going to be taking a peek at Hebrews 10. So Catherine just read that, and here in a moment, we're going to go back and look at some concepts that stand out from Hebrews chapter 10. But before we get to Hebrews 10, I just want to say this by way of introduction. Pastor Jared, a couple of weeks ago, when he invited me to consider preaching, asked me to think about teaching one another passages in the New Testament. The New Testament encourages us on several occasions to be careful how we treat each other as believers. And you know, I was thinking about that, and in John's gospel, we have the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. It's given to us in John chapter 17. And so in John 17, you don't have to turn there, but again, by way of introduction, we hear this from the lips of Jesus. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, his disciples, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So in this prayer of Jesus, Jesus prays for us, prays for believers, that we would be what? One. That we would be one. Part of the reason why it's important for us to be one, as I read a moment ago, is that the world would believe that God sent Jesus to the earth. And so part of why it's important for us to treat each other in an appropriate capacity is because that gives a testimony of whether Jesus came or not. And so we are to be careful in God's family how we treat one another. And so based on that idea, in the New Testament, you see several writers that kind of expound on that or express that. And so we're encouraged to love one another. Even Deacon so-and-so. And Sister says a lot. Absolutely. We are to love one another. And we are told and encouraged in other places in the New Testament to be careful how we treat one another, because that's a testimony to the fact that God sent Jesus into the world. So now that brings us to Hebrews chapter 10. And we have one of those passages where we are told to treat each other in a specific capacity. Hebrews chapter 10. And so that passage has already been read. So what I would like to do is just highlight a couple of things while we're together here this morning. And so before we jump into our Bible study time, though, I would like to pray. So I'm going to invite you to join me as we pray. God, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity we have had to worship you through song this morning. I want to thank you, Father, for that song we sang a moment ago about your goodness. And truly, you are good to us. And so we praise you for your goodness. Well, we were reminded this morning, Father, through our prayer time, through Psalm 103. And we thank you so much that as far as the east is from the west, our sins have been separated from us. Thank you. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the privilege that we're going to have to study it here together this morning. Speak to us, Father, and help us to hear what the Spirit would say. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we see in Hebrews chapter 10 that's intended to help us as we think about what it means in June of 2025 to relate to each other as believers? Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, there are two things that I want you to see. First is kind of the premise. So there's a basis, in other words, for what the writer of the book of Hebrews wants to encourage us to do. And what is the basis of that? Well, verse 19 begins with a word, therefore. Now, some of you maybe have heard this in church before, but the old adage is when you see the word therefore, you should find out what? What it's there for. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews is making a connection here. So he has said some things in the first 18 verses of Hebrews chapter 10, and now he is trying to alert us with this word, therefore, to say, based on what I've said, now this. But we don't have time to read all 18 verses and go back through the chapter and highlight some of those components that he addressed. So you know what he does for us here? He gives us a summary. And so look at verses 19 through 21. Let me read those again. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. So, the writer of the book of Hebrews gives us a summary here of what he has said in the preceding 18 verses, actually the preceding chapters. So he says, therefore, since these things are realities, or what are the realities that he highlights? He gives us two. And they're highlighted by the phrase, we have. So number one, in verse 19, we have what? By the way, I'm a teacher, so I'm going to ask a lot of questions today. There will be a pop quiz at the end of the message. So the first, we have what? We have confidence, absolutely. And down in verse 21 is the second we have. We have a great priest. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews, in these three verses, summarizes what he has said previously in the preceding chapters to help remind us, okay, we have these realities. Based on these realities, then, in verses 22 through 25, he's going to give us three actions to practice. But I want you to think with me for a second about these two realities, these two truths. The first one comes in verse 19. We have confidence. This particular Greek term that the writer of the book of Hebrews uses here is a Greek term that literally, and may be in some of your Bible translations, translated as boldness. So what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying here, as believers, we have boldness, not arrogance, not cockiness, but we have confidence and we have boldness that we can do something. What is that confidence that we have? We can enter the holy place. You know, that's a reality for me and you as believers, that on tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I have confidence that I can enter the holy place where my Father is, that I can talk to Him. I have confidence that I can enter into His presence as His child and talk to Him. We have that. We have confidence. Excuse me. We have that. We have confidence that we can enter into His presence. Now, that's a reality we enjoy as believers. We have confidence to enter into His presence, that holy place. But you know, there's a second reality that the writer mentions here, and that second reality is what? We have a high priest. We have a great priest. By the way, if you were to read the whole book of Hebrews, you would recognize this is a theme throughout the whole book. Part of what the writer of the book of Hebrews wants to remind the people in that day of was they've got a priest, a high priest. I mean, we could go back to Hebrews chapter 2, the mention of a high priest. We could look at Hebrews chapter 5, a mention of a high priest. We could go to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 9, and in the chapter we're in this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. We have a priest that's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So these two realities, these two truths exist for us as believers. We have confidence and we have a great priest. And so now here's what the writer of the book of Hebrews does. He says to us, based on these two realities, now three practices should be happening amongst you. And interestingly enough, all three of those practices are introduced by two words, let us. Let us. Let us. And so those three practices are mentioned, verse 22, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast. And verse 24, let us consider. So again, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, based on these realities, man, we have confidence, yes. We have a high priest, yes. Based on those realities, now here are some things we should be doing. We should draw near, yes, let us do that. We should hold fast, yes. And we should what? Consider. And so now, for the next few moments, I want us to think about each one of those specific actions and what that means for us in this day and age, in 2025. What does that mean for me and you as a church, as believers, to do these things? So let's look at each one of them specifically. First, let us draw near. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Well, draw near to whom? Well, yeah. I mean, the writer of the book of Hebrews doesn't tell us at this point, but in the context of the passage, absolutely, it's God. The preceding phrase at the end of verse 21, we have a great priest over the house of God. And so let us now draw near. So one of the actions the writer of the book of Hebrews encourages us to take as believers is that we are to draw near. Part of one of the beautiful things that happens when we come together on Sunday mornings or when your small group meets during the week is that you have the opportunity as a group to draw near to God. Now, hopefully you take advantage of that as an individual and you draw near to God. Maybe you have a personal devotional time, whether it's the morning or the afternoon or the evening, you have that time where you pray and you read scripture, you draw near to Him. But part of the beauty of being in a family and being a part of a body is that we can do that together. And so when we come in here on Sunday mornings, we have the opportunity through song, through preaching, through the fellowship, through everything that takes place, we have the privilege to draw near to God. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, hey, let's do that. We have confidence to do that. He wants us there. Let's do that. Let's do that. And so that's what the writer of the book says. Let's draw near. To whom? Well, God. And by the way, this is not the first time in the book where the writer of the book of Hebrews has encouraged us to draw near. If we took time and went back to Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, let us draw near to God. Man, one of the truths that kind of weaves its way through the pages of the book of Hebrews is that we can draw near to God. We can have confidence to enter into His presence, and we can draw near to Him. Absolutely. Well, how do we do that? Well, that's a great question. Look back at verse 22. Let us draw near, how? With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. So we can draw near, and we do that with sincere hearts. And those hearts that have the assurance of faith. So as a part of our faith, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, know that you can have that confidence, yes. And know that you have that assurance, yes, that you can draw near. Let's do that. Let us draw near with sincere hearts, full of assurance in faith. Well, that's one practice that the writer of the book of Hebrews says it's important for us to keep in our minds. Let us draw near. Well, there's a second practice in the very next verse, also, which begins with those two words, let us. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. What are we to hold fast to? Well, it's our confession. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And we're to do this without wavering. Now, I've thought about this as I was preparing for this morning. They're to hold fast their confession without wavering. If we were to think about this situation of those days when the writer of the book of Hebrews originally wrote, he's writing to a group of believers that are being persecuted. Part of their persecution includes their being tempted or tested to leave their faith in Christ and to go back to what their former life was. And so part of the theme of the book of Hebrews can be summarized in three words. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Consistently through the whole book, from 1:1 to the end of chapter 13, the writer of the book of Hebrews says to them over and over again, Jesus is better. He's better than the old covenant. Don't go back to that. He's better than the old sacrifices. Don't go back to that. He's better than the old ways. Don't go back to that. Jesus is better. By the way, that's not a bad message in 2025 for believers. Still today, anything the world can offer, Jesus is better. That's part of the theme and focus of the book of Hebrews. And so when the writer says, listen, in the face of what's going on in your midst, hold fast to your confession and do it without wavering. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. So we're to hold fast to our confession. Yes. Now here's a question. Why? Well, what's the end of the verse say? He who promised is faithful. Why do we hold fast our confession? Because God's faithful. That's a good answer for a lot of questions we might have. Why do we do what we do as believers? God is faithful. Why do we serve the Lord? He is faithful. Why do we seek to be faithful to Him? He is faithful. God is faithful. So a second action point is that we should hold fast. Let us do that. Hold fast to our confession without wavering. Because I confess, I can be a waverer. Because it's easy sometimes to waver in the midst of life and things going on. But the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us, let us hold fast without wavering. Let us hold fast that confession that we've made in Jesus because God's faithful. Well, there's a third action point. So again, based on those two realities, we have confidence. We have a high priest. These three action points just kind of fall out. The first, let us draw near. The second action point, let us what? Hold what? Fast. And then thirdly and lastly, let us consider. So from verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I want us to take a moment here and I want to think about this. Let us consider. So what is it we're supposed to consider? Each other. I think the answer's on the screen even. It's an open book quiz. Each other. We're to consider each other. Now here's what's interesting to me about this. Think about a normal Sunday morning. What are the things that we consider on a normal Sunday morning? Maybe for some of us, we're considering whether we're going to go to church at all or not. For some, maybe we're considering, well, what am I going to wear? I know how you guys are. You'll pull a shirt out and you'll sniff the underarm and try to determine if it's clean enough or not. I think I wore this 2 weeks ago. Is anybody going to remember? What am I going to wear? Maybe we consider, what am I going to do for lunch? Want to beat the Methodists to Culver's. And by the way, these are not bad things. I'm not trying to say these are bad things at all. Because we want to beat the Methodists to Culver's. But the writer of the book of Hebrews does something here. He reminds us there's something else we're supposed to be considering as we get ready for church on Sunday morning. That's each other. That's each other. Let us consider one another. Let us think about each other. Now, why? Well, he tells us that. We are to think about each other. Why? Well, look again at verse 24. The Bible translation I'm reading from is the New American Standard. It says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another. That particular Greek term is a Greek term that's intended to communicate the idea of to stir up, to motivate, to kind of encourage, to get going. So part of what I'm supposed to be considering on Sunday morning, in the midst of other things I consider, is how can I consider, I'm still learning names here. We've been members relatively a short time. But I think if I just say Jared, I'll get a couple of people right? How can I help Jared? What can I do to encourage him, to stir him up to what? Love and good deeds. See, part of what's supposed to happen here on Sunday morning is that we consider. By the way, the Greek term that's translated consider here that the writer uses is a Greek term that literally means this idea, careful consideration or thoughtful attention. I'm to give careful consideration. I'm to give thoughtful attention for how I can encourage Jared to love and good deeds. Or music guy. No, I'm just kidding, Matt. I've got to give consideration. Thoughtful consideration. But now that assumes something, doesn't it? That assumes I've taken time to get to know Matt well enough to know what might be on his heart. To know what he might be wrestling with. To know what his dreams are. And one of the beauties of our church is things like that can take place in small groups. Now, Pastor Jared can't give thoughtful consideration to all of us. He's sharp, but he's limited. I don't mean that in a bad way. No one guy can know 100 people that well. Just as long as he knows me, right? No. But in a small group, you can get to know people in a little more personal capacity. And as you're going through the week, you can think about, well, I'm in a small group with Matt, and I know Matt has shared this. I'm praying for this. And so when I come together on Sunday morning, I see Matt and say, hey, Matt, how can I help you? How can I stir you up? How can I motivate you to love and good deeds? Let us consider one another. Let us consider thoughtful consideration, careful consideration. Let us consider how we can stir each other up to what? Love and good deeds. By the way, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that as believers, we have been created for good works. And so part of what's supposed to take place on a Sunday morning and in the small groups through the week is that we help each other think through, man, am I doing that? Am I loving as I ought to love? Am I carrying out God's will for my life as best as I know how? Those good deeds. And so as I think about my consideration of one another, part of why we consider one another is to stir each other up, to motivate each other, to be more loving, sure, to do more good deeds, okay, but to help each other as brothers and sisters in the family to do what God wants us to do, that we would consider one another. So, part of what we have seen this morning, I'm getting ready to move to conclude. Part of what we have seen this morning, and by the way, Matt, I guess you guys can go ahead and get ready too, as far as music. Yes, yeah, sorry about that. Because my conclusion's not very long. So, part of what we have seen this morning as we think about this passage is that we recognize the writer of the book of Hebrews says to us, listen, as believers, you have two realities, two truths that exist for you. We have confidence. Man, what a truth. I can be confident to enter into the presence of my Father. I can have that confidence. Yes. And not only do we have confidence, we have a great priest in the Lord Jesus. Absolutely. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews says then, since these things are realities, these truths should flow from that. Let us draw near. Well, we've already been told we have confidence. So since we have confidence, let's do it. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. All right, here's a pop quiz. What's number two? Let us what? I heard nothing. Let us what? Thank you. Hold fast. Absolutely. Man, we should hold fast to the confession. If you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way here today, you hold fast to that confession. In the face of whatever comes our way, the writer of the book of Hebrews encourages us to do that. Hold fast without wavering. Why? God is faithful. Let us hold fast. And then that third action point, let us consider whom? Everybody. One another. Yeah, in the midst of everything we consider on a Sunday morning, let's consider each other for how we can help each other as we walk with the Lord, how we can stir one another up to love and good deeds. Amen. And so this morning, I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our response time. And this is your opportunity to talk to the Lord or allow Him to continue speaking to you and thinking about those realities, thinking about those action points, and thinking about what it means to draw near, what it means to hold fast, what it means to think about one another. Well, let me pray, and we'll transition to the music and our response time. God, I am so grateful this morning. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the opportunity to study it together. And I want to thank you for what we were reminded of this morning. Those truths that really are ours as your children and as your family. We do have confidence. And we do have Jesus, that great high priest. And then, Lord, those practices that are intended to help us as a body to carry out the things you want us to carry out, thank you for those three. Now, Father, as we transition now to this time of response, we pray, as you've spoken, this is the opportunity for folks to do business with you. And as you've spoken, our simple prayer is that we would be sensitive to your still small voice and that we would be obedient to whatever the next steps are that you would have us to take. And so we give this response time to you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. That was great. I like that one, Matt, or music guy. All right. Just a couple quick announcements before you're dismissed. There is a youth event coming up at Wild Honey this week on the 11th. The baby bottles in the back, we've got one more week before you return those next Sunday. If you're not familiar with that ministry, there's a small flyer back there. Please take a moment to look at that. Also, please visit our Next Steps table. We've got a few sign-up sheets for different events that we have coming up. One of the ones that we're doing this next weekend. Jared, did you want to speak about it? All right, I got you. The men's breakfast, it's a potluck at Sean Perdue's house. The address is in the bulletin there. And if you're going to bring a dish, please sign up on the Next Steps table over there. And it's one of my favorite events that we have, and we get to fellowship with our fellow men here in church and get to hear a testimony from one of our brothers that's coming up. So please consider joining us for that. And then we have the summer event coming up. They're looking for some volunteers, so consider that. Take a look at the Next Steps table. There are a few business cards that highlight some of the different ministries between the Celebrate Recovery and a few others. But otherwise, that concludes our service today. Thank you, sir, and thank all of you for joining us. You are dismissed. God bless.